We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Mark wants to come and share something, if that's all right. So give Mark a round of applause.
I just believe I've got a word from God for maybe somebody here this morning, or else maybe it's a few people. There's stuff happening in your life, and you don't understand what it is. And you're a child of God, and Satan's attacking you, and you don't know really what's happening in your life, and you're starting to question things. And you're saying, where's God in all this here? I just believe you have to stand firm, because it says in the Word of God that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I believe you just have to claim that this morning, that stand against the fiery darts of Satan. And there's God says in His Word that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose and love Him. Like, just stand firm and believe you're a child of God, that He's not letting anything happen to you. That Satan's not having control, because God's in control. And God is not letting anything happen to you that's out of His control. And He has a hand on you. And all these things are happening for a reason. You may be going through the furnace, but God's molding you and making you. All these things are happening in your life for a reason. I believe that's for somebody here this morning. Amen.
Okay, and now I'm going to ask Gary to come. He's going to share a wee bit of the life groups. Can you give him a round of applause too?
Thanks, Daryl. As Danielle referred to earlier, we're going to be setting up life groups soon. And for those of you who may not be familiar with what that's all about, it's pretty much home groups. And for us, it's going to be a vital part of our church going forward. We really believe that the bigger we get collectively on Sundays, the smaller we need to be in terms of the distance between individuals during the week. And really, for me, from personal experience, home groups have really strengthened my faith, probably to a greater extent than Sundays even, perhaps. And CFC in Belfast, when I was at university, I mean, that really blessed me and it really strengthened me through tough times. And we really hope it does the same for you. So we've got about four or five leaders who have stepped forward, and they have kindly offered us the use, you know, of their homes or a nearby space to be able to host those groups. Now, we want to honour that. We don't want to become too much of a burden on those families, and we don't want to just dump everything on them. So that's why we're looking at a new format, a new way of doing things in our home groups, because I don't know what your experience may have been of home groups in the past, but you know, sometimes there can be a tendency for things to become repetitive and stale for one or two personalities or just ways of doing things to dominate, and we don't want to do that. So we're going to look at the four W's, which is welcome, worship, word, and witness. So every week, the leaders will have a responsibility to rotate those different aspects among the group. So each week, somebody will be responsible for a welcome, for starting a game, an icebreaker, something fun, something that's just a bit of crack. Somebody will be responsible for word. In other words, summarizing what Daryl or whoever was speaking at Sunday was talking about and breaking it down into a simple to understand manner, and then having questions and discussion flowing on from that. So that really consolidates what we've learned at church on Sundays. Then there's our worship. So somebody each week will be responsible for worship. And the key thing to say is this, that will not always be somebody on a guitar. Worship is not always musical, okay? If one week the person responsible for worship is a guitar player, great, we can sing songs. But the next week it's going to be somebody else, and that person may not be musical. To give you one example, in my old house groups up in Belfast, there was one girl, she was a teacher, and she was very creative and very artsy and all that sort of thing. She created like a washing line, and had all these wee socks or whatever they were resembling dirty linen, and we all had to write down stuff that we felt was, you know, becoming a burden in our lives, things that were making us feel dirty before God, sins that were, you know, privately kind of weighing us down. And we wrote those down and placed them on that line, and then, you know, read a verse from Scripture about how Christ has washed us whiter than snow. And, you know, at the start, I thought that was really weird, but at the end of it, it actually felt really, really good, because it was a really nice way of just laying things before God as an act of worship. And then finally, we've witnessed, which is the fourth W, and that's basically where somebody each week will be responsible for identifying a need within the church or maybe outside the church that everyone collectively can put into in terms of effort or resources. Now, that sort of thing might be done every week, but it's something that if a need becomes apparent that we can work towards. And also, somebody will be responsible each week for food, so for bringing maybe a bit of a snack that everybody can enjoy. And also, somebody will be responsible for leading, in other words, making sure everybody knows what W they're doing that week, and everybody you know, the whole thing flows on the night. So there's loads of responsibilities that are going to be rotated every week. All you need to worry about for now, okay, is signing up on the website. So if you go to the website, go to the Facebook page, you'll see the link. Put down your preferred location, okay? We can't always guarantee that's where you'll end up, but we'll do our very best to honor that. And spread the word, get involved. And I just want to say, you know, if you're new to Vibe or you've been here a while and you're not sure, I just want you to know this is a safe place, okay? Not just physically, but spiritually, okay? We don't care if you have a four-year degree from Bible college or you're a new young believer in Christ. You're welcome, you're valued, and we really want to do church with you. So we want you on board, okay? And irrespective of how gifted you think you may or may not be, we want you to contribute. So we'd love to have you involved. We'd love to have you in a group. We'd love to build relationship with you and not just have, you know, a Vibe to be an event-based thing. We want to have a relationship that goes throughout the week. So get involved, sign up, and I'm going to be training leaders soon. So they'll be in touch with you shortly about whose group you're going to be in, what you're going to be doing. Okay? Thanks.
Man, we're so busy, aren't we? That's amazing. God is good. You know, I really was moved by just the different events that took place this week, and then Shane texts me and tells me about this 11-year-old in Uri and died also. You know, there's just something whenever, I don't know what it is, maybe just us as human beings, when something's far off, it's harder for your heart to connect with it. But when something's close to home, it really does hit your heart a lot harder. And so, you know, we're thinking about the girl last week that David was mentioning, 19, in Castle Welland, dying in a house fire. This week, two young guys die in a car crash. Another young person dies just in their sleep. I think they just didn't wake up in Uri. I mean, crazy things going on. And you know, God really just touched my heart. It's not what I want to share this morning, but just for a couple of minutes, just to dwell on it. And I felt like God was saying to me, and maybe it's just a personal conviction, but maybe it'll touch your heart also. And I felt just as I was praying about it and I heard the news, I thought to myself, wow, I've heard the news too late. I've heard the news too late in a sense of I can't do anything now. Now, I totally believe in raising people from the dead. I believe in that all day because Jesus did it, and so I believe for that. But I know that it doesn't happen as often as maybe we would like it to happen. And so, obviously, whenever you hear the news that someone's dead or they've passed away, it's too late. There's nothing that we can do. And yet God tells us, and Jesus tells us, and the Bible tells us that we know everyone's going to be born and then everybody's going to die. The only thing that we don't know is we don't know when they're going to die. And so I want to encourage us this morning and maybe just want to touch our hearts and just remind us. We sang that song this morning, nothing else matters if we don't have Jesus. Nothing else matters. I can do all things through Christ, but on the other side, I can do nothing through Christ. I'll never make it to heaven if I don't have Jesus, but if I have Jesus, I will make it to heaven for eternity, and that's a long, long time. And so I felt this week that God was touching our hearts and maybe he wants to touch your heart in the same way as he touched mine and said, when we hear the news, it's just too late. But we have more than enough information. We have heard the good news. We know the testimonies. We've heard the praise reports this morning. We've heard the prayer needs of even God's people. What would it not be like for people who do not know the Lord? And so my heart is burdened and my heart is breaking, not to react to every single scenario that comes, but be constantly moving, to be constantly reaching, to be constantly pursuing out and trying to affect people's lives with the goodness of God. And so maybe as we go forth this morning and we go into this week, could we just be mindful of the people around us who don't know Jesus, who don't know the Lord, or maybe we're unsure of, and just do even better to share, do even better to care, do even better to reach out and to affect the people around us. Because it will be a mistake if we end up at the end with lots of great stuff, but loads of other people did without. It will be a mistake if we gain the whole world and gain Christ, but somebody else misses out on him. But maybe we had an opportunity to share. So I want to encourage you, be bolder, be braver, because when it comes down to it, we're going to wish we tried harder. We're going to wish that we said more or did more. So I want to just encourage you. I want to lift you up. I don't want to condemn you. I just want to lift you up and challenge you this morning with the good news that we've got in Jesus to share it as much as we can. Can we pray today? Lord, I just thank you for your heart. I thank you, your heart, Lord, was to come to seek and to save the lost. So therefore, Lord, there was a great need. Therefore, there was a lot of sick people. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you came to die on a cross for all, Lord. You didn't die for just some or just a few, but you died for all, Lord, all of creation. All of creation from that moment to this moment and to the moments to come. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, us with the boldness of Christ, us with the power of God running in our veins, that, Lord, we would be bolder, that we would be more confident, that we'd be braver, not in ourselves, but in you, because our identity is in Christ this morning. Lord, if we know you, we are in you. And so this morning, I pray we would draw on the many resources that we have to spread further, to go deeper, and to say more, and to act more, and to reach more, because there is a hurting and dying world out there. And Lord, I do not want to find out the news too late. I want to give them the good news before that. Lord, this morning, will you come and touch our hearts and give us a boldness to go like never before. And Lord, open up our hearts this morning just to hear from you. I believe your word is true this morning. I believe what the Bible says is correct, and I pray it's going to touch our hearts this morning in your precious name. Amen, amen. Amen. Just a couple other quick things. We've got, there's a team from Bethel coming over in a couple of weeks' time. They're going to do a conference. I think it's on the 5th and 6th of February. We've got a few extra spare tickets. It's totally sold out. They're free, but you have to book tickets. If you'd like to come to that conference, then let us know. And the other good news is our floor is now in downstairs. It just needs tidied up. It's a bit messy, but we're going to do that. And we're nearly finished downstairs. We're nearly ready to go. So keep praising God on that. Okay. This morning, I want to just share a few thoughts. I know time is going to beat us, so we may have to skip a few things. But I just wanted—I felt God was saying this. You know, my first reaction was to speak about what we've seen, about that God's in control, and no matter what would come our way, God's in control. He's faithful. Stay true. Don't give up on your faith. And then I felt God just challenge me and say, that's a great message, but it's not my message for today. And I felt God was saying, I want people to know that if they love the Lord, if they're in Christ, then you're kingdom people. That you're in God's kingdom. I want you to know this morning that we're in God's kingdom. If we know the Lord, then we are kingdom people. We are heirs with Christ. The Bible actually tells us in Ephesians, John's going to flick it up in just a moment, Ephesians 2:6, is that we were raised up together and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And so this morning, if you're in Christ, you're raised up this morning. You are raised up, even though you're here on earth, you're raised up, and he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So this morning, if we're in Christ, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Suddenly, there's a transfer is taking place. Suddenly, a transformation is taking place. Suddenly, we've went from a kingdom down here to a kingdom up there. And you know the great news of this is that if you're part of God's kingdom, you're not part of any other kingdom. And even if you're here on earth, you're still part of God's kingdom. This morning the Bible tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of the world because we are kingdom people. And the great thing about being kingdom people is that we have all the benefits and all the privileges of the kingdom. And so this morning the Lord, I feel, wants us to remind ourselves of what are those benefits. What are those things that we gain as we come into the kingdom? Did you know at one point you were an orphan? And then at another point, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, you become adopted. You become a son or a daughter. And that's amazing, great news this morning. Whenever you were an orphan, Jesus reached out and he reached for you and you reached back for him. You said yes to Jesus and suddenly you went from an orphan to adopted. You went from a nobody to a somebody in Jesus. You went from an orphan to a son or daughter in the kingdom of God. And so if we talk about a kingdom, it means we must have a king that's running the kingdom, and our king is King Jesus. And so this morning, no matter what we face here on earth, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world because we're part of the kingdom of God. Our king is on the throne. Our kingdom reigns supreme. Our king reigns supreme. And so this morning, as we go forth, we're going to remind ourselves that we are kingdom people. We're in and part of God's kingdom. And so I want us to think this morning, what does that mean if we're in God's kingdom? Well, the first one means, and it's a great one, and maybe you're here because of this reason, is that whenever you're in God's kingdom, there's great benefits. There are great benefits. We hear about refugees all the time in the news at the moment. The reason why people want to get to the UK and to the West and to Europe and to America is because there's benefits. Because there's benefits of being in that country that are better than the benefits they've got in their own country. And God's saying this morning, there's benefits in me that you will not gain anywhere else. If you're a kingdom people, you have received benefits like you'll never believe. There's benefits that will cause you to be blessed when you shouldn't be blessed. There's grace available when you don't deserve grace, but grace will be extended to you because God's kingdom is full of grace. It's full of benefits. And so this morning, if you're in need of benefits and you're part of the kingdom, you've got all that you need. If you're outside of the kingdom, then you're going to be lacking in the benefits of God. You're going to be lacking in the things that you need. This morning, God's saying, if you're in my kingdom, you're going to receive my benefits. If you're in my kingdom, then you're part of a different economy. It means that no matter where you go, no matter what things have happened to you, your economy is different because you're in the kingdom of God. You know what God's economy is? It's not money. It's faith. God's economy is faith this morning. And so if we've got faith, here's what the Bible says. If we've got faith as small as a mustard seed, we'll move a mountain. Think about it. If we didn't have faith, how else would we move the mountain? We'd have to pay somebody a lot of money to do it. We just have to pay somebody a lot of money to do it. And yet the Bible tells us this morning, in our kingdom, in the kingdom that we're now in, all we need is faith. And actual fact, all we need is a small bit of faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. I believe the Lord picked that description just to let us know that it's not about the amount of money that you have, because that's the context that we think of in this world. But in God's kingdom, it's about the size of your faith and the consistency of your faith. Your faith, pardon me. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is, because faith as small as a mustard seed is going to move a mountain. So if we're in the kingdom of God, suddenly our benefits have changed. Suddenly our economy has changed. We've got faith instead of money. Suddenly we have the favor of God in our lives. And this is a big one. Whenever you're in the kingdom of God, you have special favor. You have royal favor because you're sons and daughters of the Most High. And so even though we're in this world, we're still part of God's kingdom, and his kingdom still reaches. There's no difference of distance, or there's no problem of distance in God's kingdom. This morning, even though we're here, his kingdom still extends to us. In God's kingdom, there's supernatural, there's healing. That's why we can pray this morning, because in God's kingdom, we can believe for supernatural events. We can believe for healing this morning. We have seen healing, we have received healing, and we're still believing for healing. We're believing for breakthroughs. We're believing for restoration, because God's kingdom is supernatural. And if we're part of his kingdom, that's what's available to us. And of course, before we move on, if we're in a kingdom, we've got the king. And the king's support is better than anybody else's support. And maybe you've been through a tough week this week because of the things you've seen in the news. Or maybe you've been going through your own personal trials and nobody else knows, but you've needed the king's support. The good news is, if you're in the kingdom, the king's support is available to you. If you're outside of the kingdom, there's no king. There's no king, but he's reaching for you, he's calling for you, and he's looking for you, and he'd love you to respond. And so this morning, the invitation is there. If you're not a kingdom person, you can become one by accepting Jesus. He's the key to everything. He's the doorway into the kingdom. We used to be orphans, but now we're adopted. I believe it's worth saying again. We used to be orphans, but now we're adopted into an incredible kingdom with an incredible father. You know, I was doing a word count. This just sounds a bit nerdy, but I did a quick Google to see what's the most common used words in the Bible. And of course, Lord comes up a lot, and God comes up incredibly, just huge. But after that, pretty much after that, once you get past Jesus, Lord, God, those kind of ones, the next one, Father, 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 Father. He just wants you to know that he's your father. He wants you to know that you're a son or a daughter. He wants you to know, no matter what your experiences have been down here, you're part of a kingdom up there, and his kingdom extends to here, because God's heart and God's desire is that heaven would come to earth, and that you would know that you've got a father. And so even before you get to heaven, even before you get there, we need to know this morning, we have a heavenly father. He's a good father. We've sang it this morning. He's a good, good father. Romans 14, 17, and this is what I feel God has put in our hearts this morning. We're going to look at it just as best that we can in the time that we've got available. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking," and here's the bit I want us to think about, "but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." This is the kingdom of God this morning. This is what the benefits that we receive, and these are the ones that God wants to highlight in our hearts this morning, of what we gain when we come into the kingdom of God. Righteousness. I want us to think about the three different words there: righteousness, peace, and joy, just for a moment. Righteousness, break it down, it simply means being made right with someone. But in this context, we're saying being made right with God. We have been made right with God. When you are part of God's kingdom, you've been made right with him. And so what does that mean in our day-to-day context? I believe it means this. If you've been made right with God, he says it's a once-for-all thing. It's happened once, it doesn't need to happen again. So tomorrow, if you make a mistake, you don't need to be made right with God again. You don't need to worry about your salvation. You don't need to worry about being chucked out of the kingdom. Is God asking for repentance? Of course he is. That's something that should be in our hearts, and it should be something that we want to do all the time, because we want to please the king. We want to serve the king. We want to honor the king. But our place in the kingdom is not always in jeopardy. Our place in the kingdom, there's not always a threat that says, I'm going to take that passport from you. There's not always a threat that says, you're going to be deported if we find out who you are. We're going to chase you from this country. God is saying, no, when I died, I died once for all. Whenever you accepted Jesus into your heart, you became in Christ, and therefore you became righteous with me. You became righteous with me. If we're in Christ this morning, we are righteous in God. God's kingdom is all about people being made right with God once for all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin." We've got sin this morning. We had sin. We were born in sin. We like to think we're perfect, but unfortunately we're not. But in Christ, when God looks at us, you know what he sees? He sees Christ, which means he sees perfection. That's an incredible thought. He's our Father this morning. This is the benefits of being in the kingdom. For God made Christ, who never knew sin, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We were in Christ and now we're through Christ. I mean, God just wants us to know this morning, we're just wrapped up together with Jesus. We're just wrapped up together with him. We're not having to do this all alone. We're not trying to figure everything out on our own. We're in Christ. We're through Christ. He's in us. We abide in him. He is with us. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us because we're in Christ and God doesn't change. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord. This is something we need to do on a regular basis. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God's saying this morning, if you're in me, you will not be shaken. If you're in me, you will have things that come along that will try to shake you and will make you feel scared and make you feel worried, but you're a righteous person, so therefore you can never really be moved. You can never really be shaken. You can never be taken out because you're in Christ. Christ is in you and you're through Christ this morning. Righteousness. I'm going to move to peace. Peace, I love peace. And of course, John, flick up the verse. It's in Philippians 4:7. You know the verse so well. I mean, it's so obvious, the verse we're going to read, but it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're going through Christ Jesus again. Everything we do, he's like our amazing filter. He's just our amazing protector. He's just our amazing clothes. We just put them on every day. We're in Christ. He will guard our hearts. He will guard our minds. And that peace will just surround us. God is saying this morning, if you're in my kingdom, there's a kingdom peace that reigns in your heart and life. Here's the bottom line with his peace. It's a peace you won't find anywhere else. It's a peace that works no matter what circumstances you're going through. There's a description in the Bible this morning, we don't have time to read it, but of Jesus on a boat and he's in a storm and yet he's sleeping. It's a perfect description of the peace of God in our lives. Because you could be going through the most incredible storm in your life, just the biggest, hardest circumstances you've ever faced, and yet you somehow have a peace inside of your heart. The peace is so good, you start to wonder, why am I not like everybody else? Everybody else is freaking out. Why am I not freaking out? Because you've got a peace that passes all understanding. You just can't even understand it. You're freaking out, but there's this peace inside of your heart, even at the extent of everything that's going on. Because guess what this peace does? It guards your heart and it guards your mind through Christ Jesus. We have a peace in our hearts this morning. So I want to encourage you, no matter what news will come up this year, no matter what things you will go through, if you're in the kingdom of God, and even though you're in this world, the kingdom still extends to you, there's peace inside of your heart, you are through Christ, and Christ is protecting your mind, and he's protecting your heart this morning. And I mean, there's nobody that can get through that. So in those circumstances, how do we receive this peace? How do we gain this peace? Well, you got to pay for it. And how do you pay for it in the kingdom? It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. Everything goes back to faith. And so if you're here this morning, you're thinking, well, where is this peace for me? How do I get this peace? I'm going to encourage you. You got to pay for it. You got to go buy it somewhere. The peace is there. Use your faith. Exercise the faith that God has given you. Use the faith that he's given you. Pay for it in faith, and all will be revealed to you. It's by faith we receive everything. It's by faith that we hear the word. It's by faith we receive the peace of God. It's by faith that we're going to sustain ourselves through the peace of God. So if we can't feel his peace this morning, just start to believe in faith. Just say, Lord, I can't understand it. I can't fathom it. I can't figure it out logically. But in faith, Lord, just help me to receive your peace. Help me to receive. Extend your peace in my heart this morning. This is what God has sent. It's a peace like no other. It's a peace that works in pain. God's peace is a peace that works in pain. I want to assure you of that. You might be in pain this morning. Maybe you don't feel his peace. That's okay. You know, we're not going to argue it over it with you. But I want to encourage you that just keep holding on, and I believe his peace is going to come through. I believe his peace is going to come through because it's a peace that works in pain. It's a peace that remains because if you're in Christ, you can't be out of Christ, and so therefore it's a peace that remains. And so you've got a peace that's going to last. You know, you described the picture of a boat that's sailing on the seas, and one day everything's going really well, and then suddenly a storm comes, and then it's crazy, there's no peace. And then everyone settles down, and then the peace comes back. God's saying this morning, my peace is so good it passes all understanding. It's a peace that remains. And so even in the turmoils, even in the ups and downs, it's a peace that just keeps on going in your heart. And so this morning, don't be surprised that his peace is just always there. Don't be surprised that when everybody else is freaking out and everybody else is worried and consumed with worry, you just still have a peace inside of your heart. It's not a contradiction, it's the Lord. It's a peace that comes from his kingdom. You're not going to get it anywhere else. It's God's peace. God's kingdom is peace. Wherever we go, we have the power to bring this peace this morning. You know, if we are kingdom people, we bring God's kingdom with us. And so this morning, wherever we go, we've got power to bring this peace. And so I want to encourage you that there may be some people that are battling things around us, and we've heard about ones in the news, but there's many other problems that people are battling that never make it to the news, but are rife in their hearts and they're consuming their minds, and even good, faithful Christians, and us as the body of Christ, we need to come around people like that, and we need to say, hey, there's peace for you. There's peace for you. We're carriers of peace. Not only does peace remain in our hearts, but we carry this peace, and we bring this peace, because wherever we go, we bring the kingdom. Wherever we go, God's saying, bring that kingdom. Doesn't matter if you're in Spain, doesn't matter if you're on holiday, doesn't matter if you're in work, the kingdom of God is working on your life and the kingdom is moving. Who would like to go to Spain? I'm just thinking about Spain now. I just love to go on holiday. Wouldn't that be amazing, nice and warm? I mean, maybe that was the Holy Spirit telling me I need to go to Spain. I'm only joking. I need to go to Spain. Yeah, amen. So God has sent his peace. Well, I'm at peace. So his peace. God's peace wants to protect our mind. It wants to protect our hearts. Wow. You know, it actually fits in what Mark said earlier. The devil wants to rob your peace. The devil wants to take it. He wants to destroy your peace, and he wants you to know that there is no peace, and that God's messed up, and that God's not faithful, and that God's taking you out. God will never do any of those things. God's building you up. God is building you up. Let's rest in that this morning. And then very quickly, I'm just going to take 5 more minutes because I want to talk about this one because it's great. I want to talk about joy. We've talked about righteousness. We've talked about peace. And now we're going to talk about joy. And you know, the funny thing about joy is a lot of people don't like joy. Why is that? A lot of people don't like joy. You'd be like, just calm down. Would you just stop? I mean, would you be a bit more holy? Would you just be a bit more reverent? They just don't like joy. I mean, there's joy flooding. I love this. I mean, I want an overflow of joy. Because I'm fed up with just being the one instead of being all things. You know, there's times when we're quiet, and then there's times when we're shouting. There's times when we're singing. There's times when our singing doesn't sound that good, but we're still full of joy because we've got the joy of the Lord in our hearts. If you're part of the kingdom of God, there's a joy inside of you. And a bit like this piece, other people can't figure it out. In fact, it annoys people. Aaron and Jordan always tell me in tech, the guys get annoyed because of their joy. They're like, just clear off. Stop being so joyful. What's making you so joyful? They're like, because we've got Jesus. And when you've got Jesus, there's just works and keep up. I mean, there's just joy in our hearts. And we need to praise the Lord. You know, my desire is this. I love Jensen Franklin. He always says, let's take a praise break. And I'm hoping that we're going to get to a point in our church life where we just regularly take praise breaks during the message. Wouldn't that be amazing? Could we do a praise break now? Would that be all right? We just praise the Lord. Because we've got the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And you know, here's the thing. If God wanted to write righteousness, peace, and reverence, he would have done that. If he wanted to write righteousness, peace, and holiness, he would have done that. But instead, he wrote righteousness, peace, and joy. And so joy makes me start to leap. Joy makes me want to start to dance. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to be loud sometimes. It makes me want to sing sometimes. It makes me want to move sometimes. And this is what God's saying. And I believe there's so much power in joy. There's so much power in joy. And if we ever lose our joy, we're losing something of the kingdom of God because our joy is foundational. Our joy is so important. It represents who we are in Christ. I don't want to be around a grumpy person. I want to be around a joyful person. And you know the thing about joy is? I mean, I think you've got to work less on your bad attitude if your joy is overflowing because a bad attitude and joy just can't stay together. It just cannot work. I mean, if you've got a critical spirit, if your joy is overflowing, you won't have a critical spirit anymore. Forget about praying about the critical spirit. Just ask the Lord to overflow your joy because it's just going to go in Jesus' name. When you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, you know what I believe? Is that you're much more accepting and much more receptive of people. Even when you meet a person you don't naturally like and they maybe rub you up the wrong way or they come in this morning, you're like, well, I don't really like him or I know their past. I mean, if you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, suddenly there's greater acceptance in our spirit. And so I think there's a vital mistake that we're making when we figure out about God's joy and when we leave it out with our relationship with the Lord. Imagine a relationship with no joy, even a practical, earthly, logical relationship with no joy. I mean, it just becomes like a boss. It just becomes like, you know, just an acquaintance. There's something missing. There's just something missing because we have to have joy in our relationship. And so where does our joy come from this morning? Our joy comes from resurrection. Our joy comes from resurrection because we were once dead and then we were made alive. We were once lost and then we were found. Could you imagine the scenario of the picture of someone being lost and then suddenly after days and days and days they get found? It's overflowing with joy. I mean, you know those kind of shipwreck kind of moments where the guys get shipwrecked, they're stuck on the island for days or months or whatever, and then suddenly they get discovered, they get found. They're overcoming with joy, even though they're maybe skin and bone at that time because they've had nothing for weeks, but suddenly there's a joy that comes over their hearts because there's nothing quite like resurrection. There's nothing quite like it. There's a story in the New Testament about Jesus. Again, we don't have time to look it up, so I'm going to just tell you it very quickly. Jesus had a friend called Lazarus. And he had a friend and he died on him. It said that he wept and he was moved with compassion. So he prayed for Lazarus and he was risen from the dead. He was risen from the dead. You know, and the joy that comes in that moment, the joy that comes through that moment is just amazing. And so this morning, where does our joy come from? It does not come through what we're experiencing or what we're going through, but instead it's coming from what has happened to us on the inside. We have been resurrected this morning. We have been resurrected in Jesus Christ. And if we know the Savior, then there's a joy there that will last for eternity. And so if you're worried about your joy, remind yourself of your resurrection. Remind yourself of your salvation. And if you've got no joy, you will never receive joy like what Jesus can give. You will never receive joy what Jesus can give. You know how good this joy is? It still works in pain. It's like peace. It still works in pain. You can still have a joy even when you're weeping with those who weep, even when you're mourning with those who mourn, because there's just a joy inside of your heart. There's a joy that is stronger than the circumstances that we face. There's a joy that goes deeper than anything else that can go deep in our lives. You know what Bethany's favorite song is? Joy. It's her favorite song. We have this CD that Nikki sang years ago. It's a great CD. I'll give you a copy. It'll embarrass her. And track number 7 is I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart. You know why she loves joy? Because it's in her name. The place that Lazarus was resurrected was Bethany. Bethany means resurrection. It means joy. It's inside of her. She doesn't even understand it yet, but there's a joy that's overflowing. I believe the Lord is saying this morning, this is why our faith should be childlike in a sense. This is why we should remember our first love. This is why we should always remember our salvation, our resurrection. This is why we should always have joy, because joy is built inside of us. I want to read Psalm 30 together. Let's read it together, because I'm hoping it's going to stir up our joy. This is the Psalm of David, a song as he was dedicating the temple. It says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord, and you kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. This is what we're actually supposed to do. If we're not, we should challenge ourselves. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy's coming, joy's coming, joy's coming, even in the midst of the pain. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me and I was shattered. I cried out to you, Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can dust praise you? Can I tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. And then this is what he did. You've turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning, and you've clothed me with joy. It's going back to resurrection. The grave clothes have disappeared, and now our clothes are just joyful. Our clothes are joy. You've clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Not be silent. Not be silent. Be joyful. Not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. I will give you thanks. That would be pretty good. But then he adds on, forever. I mean, it's just like, what? I got to be joyful forever. I'm a grumpy person. I don't like doing joy. God said, I'm changing you. I'm transforming you. I'm resurrecting you. And so maybe we have been resurrected in our spirits, but maybe our joy needs to get resurrected this morning. Maybe our peace needs to get resurrected this morning. You know, it's all sat on that firm foundation of our righteousness. We've been made right with God. God's never leaving us. He's never forsaken us. He's never abandoned us. And if we've got that, then everything else just springs forth. Our peace, our joy, our love, our grace, our overflow. Our overflow. I mean, there's so much more we could say, but that's it. Let's stand together. We're going to praise the Lord this morning with joy. We're going to lift up our praises. We're going to come before the Lord. And we're going to pray and believe.